Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Welcome to the Panic Podcast for the end of the week. Yes, the weekend is in sight. Hope you're in as good a mood as I am today. Good to have you with us. We are continuing our look at the Holy Spirit with an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. And today we're in Ephesians chapter 5. So get those Bibles opened up and we'll get started. As soon as I find two things, my glasses and my hot cup of coffee. We're doing good. Yeah, we're doing good. What a great day it is to be working for the Lord. It's just a beautiful day today here in Southwest Virginia. And as I'm sitting here in my professional podcaster studio, I am looking at an early birthday present. My birthday doesn't roll around for a couple of months yet, but my wife, bought me something that I have been looking for, I bet you, for 40 years. And I happened to mention it the other day. And she just went ahead and found it. I mean, just like that, right out of the blue. And it came in the mail the day before yesterday. And she wasn't going to give it to me. And then she decided she'd give it to me early. But I want to play a clip from a movie. And you tell me what my gift is. Are you ready for this? You tell me if you recognize what my gift is. Let me cue this up. And here we go. Have a listen.
I'm going to tell you an astounding story. The story of the Maltese Falcon. Men and women hunted this evil bird. But every story has the same ending. Murder.
I haven't lived a good life. I've been bad. Worse than you would know.
We were talking about a lot more money than this.
There are more of us to be taken care of now.
Well, that may be, but I've got the Falcon.
You may have the Falcon,
but we certainly have you.
I take another writing from you, I'm gonna take. Get up and shoot it out.
The police will be here any minute. Now talk.
Oh, why do you accuse
this? It's a time for that schoolgirl act. We're both of us sitting under the gallows.
Oh, yeah. You know what I got? That's right. I got the Maltese Falcon. I don't mean I got the DVD of the Maltese Falcon. I got the statue of the Maltese Falcon. The exact... I mean, it is a replica of the one that Humphrey Bogart held in his hands when he said, "This is the stuff dreams are made of." Ooh, puts a chill up your spine. Yeah, my wife bought me a Maltese Falcon statue. And I mean, it weighs a ton, but it's the real deal from the movie. And a real piece of Hollywood memorabilia. And as I say, I saw that movie probably when I was, well, it's got to be 40 years ago, and my little young boy mind was fascinated with the idea of international, criminals and con men roaming the world for hundreds of years looking for a jewel-encrusted bird statue, and it finally ends up in San Francisco. In 1941, into Humphrey Bogart's hands. Boy, it's one of my favorite movies of all time, The Maltese Falcon. Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor, Sidney Greenstreet, Peter Lorre. What an amazing cast in John Huston's Maltese Falcon. And I want to thank my wife so much for getting me that statue. As I feel like one of the international criminals on the trail of the statue all these years, and I finally found it. Found it in the mail. Who knew? Well, let's get serious here as we get cracking, looking at the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me read a group of verses, and you tell me what you think is going on here. Let's begin reading at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5. Are you ready? Beginning at verse 18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want to talk specifically about be filled with the Spirit. Now, what do you suppose that means? And I don't want to get bogged down in semantics, because when you do, this topic becomes controversial, and it's not a controversial topic at all. I want to look at three areas of study this morning. I want to talk about the fact that there is a need to consider the kind of person that is capable of being filled with the Spirit. Like, what kind of character does this person have? And then I want to look at the need of the conditions of being filled with the Spirit, and in the consequences of being Spirit-filled. So let's look at that first one to start off. So what is the meaning of being filled with the Spirit? Let's read again. Let's read verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, before we go any further, you know, we should have started back a couple of verses. So let's back up the page a little bit to verse 15, because we're breaking into a context that's really important here. Remember, we're looking at the kind of person that can be filled with the Spirit, the kind of character this person has. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So right off the bat, we understand that the person who is filled with the Spirit is, first of all, he's careful how he lives. He lives as a wise person, not an unwise person or a foolish person. According to verse 16, the person who is filled with the Spirit makes the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In other words, because we are living in a sinful world and a sin-cursed world, a world whose days are numbered, this particular Christian makes the most of every opportunity to do the work of the Lord. In other words, he takes his faith very, very seriously. And verse 17, it's kind of a restatement of verse 15. He's not living unwise. He's not living as a foolish person, but he strives to understand what the Lord's will is. And because you cannot understand the Lord's will apart from a knowledge of Scripture, the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit is in the Word of God. He takes the Word of God seriously. He studies it. He meditates it. So when Paul speaks about not being drunk with wine, he's talking about, first of all, not behaving in a worldly manner. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So I would say that, you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You can be controlled by wine. That's the essence of verse 18. You can get drunk on wine, and getting drunk on wine will lead you into doing things that are wrong, that are sinful and embarrassing, and cause you to behave in a dishonorable fashion. Instead of living in that worldly way, Paul says to be filled or be controlled by the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. And again, in verse 18, that's a command. That's not like an optional thing. It's an imperative. Be filled or be controlled by the Spirit. The believer, listen, when you're born again, you are automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. But you are not controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this is in accordance with God's will. But at some point in the young Christian's life, he is expected to understand that it is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. In other words, he needs to come to a realization that the Spirit of God is within him, and he needs to follow the will of God and be controlled by the Spirit of God. If a Christian is not being controlled by the Holy Spirit, He's being disobedient, and he's being sinful. The verb to be filled. Now that's how it's translated in the English. We also mean that it also means to be controlled or moved along by the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous action. It is a process that repeats itself over and over and over and over and over again. Now we get hung up, as I said, on semantics, and if you stop and think about being filled with the Holy Spirit, like how can you be filled one time? So obviously the word means more than just that. It means to be led, to be controlled, to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. See, God's not going to do that for you. When you become born again, the Holy Spirit is deposited into your heart. But the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And he doesn't force his way on anybody. He waits for you to come to the understanding and the realization that you need to be controlled by him. It's in your best interest to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's in your best interest and everybody around you. It's in their best interest for you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, because you'll be more Christ-like and you will be following the will of the Lord. So this is a command. Do not get drunk on wine. Now, this is not a prohibition on drinking wine. I know some of our, holiness, Pentecostal holiness brethren want to use this verse as a prohibition on wine drinking, but that's not what the verse is talking about. First of all, it says, do not get drunk on wine. It doesn't say, don't drink wine. It says, do not get, so don't abuse alcohol, which leads to debauchery. Now, you could put anything else in there. Don't abuse your work, because it could lead you into trouble. Don't abuse a friendship. Don't abuse drugs. Don't abuse your hobby. Don't abuse anything that can take you away from God and God's people and lead you into sin. Instead, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But that all goes back to verse 15. That believers need to be serious people. Be careful how you live. Don't be unwise, but wise. So pay attention to the world around you. Try to understand the forces that are all around you. Don't be foolish, right? Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The days are evil, the days are short. And the devil will make every opportunity to discourage you and to dissuade you from doing anything of lasting significance for the kingdom of God. But you need to be wise and make the most of every opportunity. And to help you to do that, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And you can say, Mike, I don't like that word, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the thing. You're going to be controlled by somebody. You're either going to be controlled by the world, and necessarily by the world, by the devil, by the flesh. You're going to be controlled by sin. Sin will be your master, or the Holy Spirit will control you. He will be your master. So what do you want? Bob Dylan used to say, you got to serve somebody. My wife does this awesome imitation of Bob Dylan singing that. Someday I got to get her on the podcast, because she's just awesome. Did I tell you she got me the Maltese Falcon for my birthday? Yep, she did. So you need to be controlled you will be controlled by something, some force, some power is going to control you. It might as well be the Holy Spirit. Secondly, what are the conditions of being filled with the Spirit? Now, we already talked about the fact that you need to be born again, right? Absolutely, you need to be born again. But I want you to take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 for a second. Let's go back a few pages here to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Excuse me, I've still got a bit of a cough. I got over that head cold weeks ago, but I have this lingering cough. No, I do not have pneumonia. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I don't know if you can remember back to when I preached on that verse, that to hunger and thirst. means basically to be be single-minded, to be single-minded, to not have a divided heart, to be very serious, to be very serious, to desire a higher form of spirituality, and we're, of course, talking about the Christian faith here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for more of God, for they will be filled. I can't tell you over the years the number of people that have struggled, that I've known that have approached me, that have struggled or are struggling with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and so on. And then there's real angst because they don't understand if they have been filled with the Holy Spirit or if they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I always point out to them is this verse 6, you really must hunger and thirst for more of God. You're not going to get more of God unless you really, truly desire more of God. If you want to manifest the various gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life, you got to take your relationship with God seriously. You got to take your relationship with Jesus Christ seriously. And the problem that we have in so many churches is that our churches are populated by unserious people. Unserious Christians. I'm not saying they're not born again. If they were to die, they'd go to heaven, you know, probably. I'm saying they're not serious, though. And there's a huge difference between someone who becomes a Christian and then doesn't really grow much in the faith and a Christian who truly desires for the deeper things of the Lord. They want more of God. They want more of His Spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So you got to have that desire. And then, as I said a moment ago, you have to be obedient. The Holy Spirit will never violate the believer's will. Okay? So if you don't want to manifest the gifts of the Spirit for some reason, you won't. If on the one hand you kind of think you might want to go deeper in your faith, but you're not willing to do what it takes, i.e., read the Bible more, meditate on the Bible, go to church, consistently, fellowship with other believers, pray more, and so on, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Neither will the Holy Spirit be used in a way that is contrary to the will of God. I mean, just think for a minute about how you pray sometimes. Do you think you ever pray for things that you are pretty sure against God's will? Have you ever prayed for something and even before you said amen, you thought to yourself, I don't think God really wants me to have this? Well, you gotta think about things like that, right? The Holy Spirit is not going to be used in a way that is contrary to the will of God. Secondly, to carry on this thought, obedience is the key to being Spirit-filled or Spirit-controlled. Dedication, my friend, is the foundation of a Spirit-filled life. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19 for a second. The famous verse, we all know it, but you're now going to know where it is. 1 Thessalonians, what did I say? 5:19? Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit. Right? So again, if you want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to be dedicated to living the Spirit-filled life. Now, what does the Spirit-filled life look like? Well, still in 1 Thessalonians, let's back up here to where it says, how far do I want to go back? Verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who, okay, work hard among you. Someone who's serious in their faith is going to work hard for the Lord, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. We're talking here in this particular context, he's talking about, your pastoral leadership in the church. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Okay, this is how you're to treat people who run your church, your pastor, your board of elders, and so on. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Now, live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, Warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Okay, this is the spirit-led life right here. So if you can't live like this, what makes you think you're going to possibly be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where, you know, you're going to be manifesting the various gifts of the Spirit? Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and everyone else. Like, how you treat others in the body of Christ is important because it will determine, you know, how deep you go in the faith. Also, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. So even those, the last three verses, are you doing those things? Are you rejoicing always, no matter what? Are you praying continually? Are you giving thanks no matter what's going on in your life? You ought to be, because that's God's will for you. So verse 19 is linked to everything that went before it. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. So if you're not living the way Paul says you should be living, then you're quenching the Spirit's fire. We always take that verse completely out of context. It has to do with living a life that glorifies God. It has to do really with simply being obedient to God's will. And as I say, living a life of dedication, because dedication to the Lord is the opposite of quenching. And this dedication involves the initial commitment to following the Lord that we find in Romans 12. Just to have a quick look at Romans 12. So I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures this morning. We don't usually have to do this many in one teaching. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, that's dedication, my friends. That is dedication. All right, there must be a dedication of your whole life to the service of the Lord. That's what Paul means when he says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, do things for the Lord. Go places for the Lord. Testify to the Lord's goodness. Share your faith. Perform acts acts of holiness and goodness and righteousness in the world. You do that with your body. And so that's why Paul says to offer your body as a living sacrifice. That idea of sacrifice is important because it means that you're not necessarily going to feel like doing these things. You're not going to feel like helping that person. You're not going to feel like loving that person. They're not lovable. You're not going to feel like sharing your faith with that person. He's kind of a bully. He's going to make fun of you. That's why it's a sacrifice. Sometimes in order to serve the Lord properly, you got to do something you may not want to do. But that's what obedience is all about. Then do not conform to the pattern of this world. You got to change your habitual way of thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, this is another thing that God's not going to do for you. Okay, he's not going to peel your brain open and put in all kinds of new thoughts and desires. That's something you have to do for yourself, and it's a constant struggle. Believe me when I tell you that. It will be a constant struggle till the day you leave this planet and enter heaven for good. But you must renew your mind. Only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is, right? Because if your brain is busy behaving and thinking in a worldly fashion, then you're not going to be able to distinguish God's will from your will and so on. So there must be a kind of a separation from the world, and there must be a transformation of the mind, which leads to just a totally different way of living. And obedience, as I said, is the key to being spirit-filled. Direction, guidance, is a continuous part of being filled. Every Christian who wants to be controlled needs direction. He must be willing also to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit uses all kinds of ways to lead an individual. The Lord recognizes sin in his children's lives and has made provision for it, and he expects the Christian to respond to him all the time and to be cleansed from his sins daily, and which will lead to a victorious Christian life. An undefeated life is an essential to being spirit-filled. And when I say undefeated, that doesn't mean that you never fail at anything. That's not what I mean. But it means that more often than not, you will be able to rise above temptation. And dependence is also vital in being spirit-filled. The standards for the Christian life are incredibly high. They cannot be attained simply by human effort. It's when you as a believer walk with God in total dependence that you are truly spirit-filled and spirit-led. Like physical walking is an illustration. When a person lifts one foot to take a step, he's dependent on the other foot to hold him up. That's the same thing by being led by the Holy Spirit. As you try to walk the Christian, you're depending on the Holy Spirit to uphold you. Now, what are the consequences of being spirit-filled? Now, here's how you can tell. Here's how you can tell if you're truly spirit-filled and spirit-led and so on. Okay, first of all, look at Galatians 5 for a second. Here's a sure way to tell if you are being filled with the Holy Spirit on a continuous basis. Galatians 5. I'm going to show you something really neat here. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In your life, folks, if you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, to varying degrees, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, leading the Spirit-led life, got nothing to do with speaking in tongues. So many people think it's all about the tongues, and it's not. Okay? Being filled and led by the Holy Spirit will result in a Christ-like character. And that's what we just looked at. Love has its object, the glory of God. Joy is seeing other Christians advance in the knowledge of their faith. Peace is tranquility that comes from a proper relationship with God. Long-suffering or patience is the character that never displays the desire for revenge. Gentleness is kind thoughts. Goodness is kindness in action. Faithfulness is using all opportunities to serve the Lord. Meekness is a gentleness. And self-control is just simply living a disciplined life. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're full of the Holy Spirit, as I say, to varying degrees, you'll manifest all the fruit of the Spirit. We understand that we're not perfect, so we're not going to be manifesting all the fruit of the Spirit 100%, 100% of the time. Okay, you may not be the most patient person in the world. Maybe you have a problem with gentleness. Maybe you're not super kind. Okay, but at least you're willing to try to manifest the fruit of the Spirit that you have problems with. Being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, results in worship and praise. And that's, we read that in Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Worship is the outward expression of praise and the inner expression of melody making in your heart. It's basically having a thankful heart and walking in thankfulness. It results in submissiveness. We submit to one another. Talk about that in Ephesians chapter 5 as well. Our relationships with other believers. We don't always strive to put our needs, our wants, our desires first. When we're being guided by the Holy Spirit, we put the other person first. We think about what they need and sometimes what they want. instead of our needs and wants. And it will will result in service. Look at John 7. Gospel of John, verse 7. Let's see, verse 37. John 7, where are we here? 37, there we go. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said," here it is, "rivers of living water will flow from within them." Verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive later. So that's you know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're born again and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, love for God, love for your fellow man, and a desire to serve both will flow out of you like rivers of living water, okay? That is to say that the Holy Spirit will inspire you to do things for the Lord and for other people, to God's glory. We're not talking about legalism here. We're talking about an earnest, sincere desire to serve God by serving other people. One of the most... one of the most vital needs, I would say, of the world today is for Christians to be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit. This will make, I think, for a very dynamic church, useful Christians, and God's glory. I hope we've got to wrap this up. We're 32 minutes past the hour, but I hope that each of you listening to the study today will meet or try to meet all the conditions, and that from now on, you'll live a life completely under control of the Holy Spirit. It really is the best life that you can live, useful to God, and you'll be a blessing to others. Okay, I think we better call it quits there for now. We'll pick up this line of thought next Friday, as we continue our look at the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. May each one of us strive to listen to him, to submit our wills to his, so that the gifts may be manifesting themselves through us. Father, only you can bring to order to our unruly wills and passions. Lord, give us the grace to love what you command and to desire what you promise, so that our hearts may be fixed on you, even as the world changes constantly. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, gang, that's it for today. Thank you again so much for being a part of our Panic Podcast Worldwide Bible Study Group. Have a good weekend. We'll see you back here on Sunday for Sunday's video sermon. And Monday, we'll be back with all new 3-minute devotional Bible studies and 3 brand new Panic Podcasts, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. See you next week. God bless you.